Doubling Down. As I slowly opened my eyes, the room spun like a merry-go-round running on pure nitrous oxide. The light seeping in from under the hotel room door caused my splitting headache to split further. What the hell happened? I thought to myself, as I slowly began to reassemble my disheveled memory. Once my vision stabilized, I surveyed the room to carefully assess the damage. I quietly stepped around empty cups and bottles, like I was traversing a treacherous minefield of savagery. A musky aroma wafted through the air, which was a strange combination of sand, whiskey, and utter sadness. A groan projected from one of the beds in the far corner of the room, so I decided to investigate. Practical Watch, actual name Chris, was beginning to rise from his alcohol-induced coma as well. He had the same confused look of desperation on his face as he mentally tried to grasp for answers. All he could mutter was, "What time is it?" A shrill voice responded from the other side of the room. "It's time to rally and go to the casino. That's what time it is." It was Eric, formerly an Instagram horology stud. Moments later, he sprang out of his bed like an American Ninja Warrior to emphasize his pre-gambling excitement. Chris and I locked eyes in disbelief. "This guy is a machine," I proclaimed. "No, he's not a machine," replied Chris. "He's a fucking hurricane." In hangover-like fashion, let me take you back a bit to set some much-needed context. About a month or so prior, I came to the realization that I needed some alone time because the rigors of work were kicking my ass. My wife sensed it as well, so she greenlit my taking a little getaway to recharge the old batteries. The original game plan was to go someplace warm and relax on the beach for a couple days. You know, a cocktail in one hand, a book in the other, and a series of unplanned naps throughout the day, all the while baking slowly under the sun. So I began to brainstorm possible destinations by collecting suggestions from various friends. Oddly enough, it was a core group of friends within the watch community who were extremely engaged in helping me plan my therapeutic escape. The two people who were most vocal in the process were Chris and Eric, each of whom were friends I had made through the community. I had met both of them at various watch meetups in the past and hung out with them socially on a number of occasions. At this point, our relationships extended well beyond watches, but it was that common interest that had initially linked us together. As they both made one exotic recommendation after another, I really liked one of them in particular, Aruba. Cliché sandy beaches, flawless weather, and a relaxing cultural vibe. Check, check, and check. As I prepared to book my flight and lock in my hotel, I asked a very simple question of both of them. "Do you guys want to come with?" Much to my delight and surprise, they both said yes. Guess my solo trip was being upgraded to full-blown mancation. "Sweetie, remember that little getaway you said I could take?"
Yes, dear," my wife replied, suspicious. "Well, I'm no longer going by myself. And instead of a 2-day trip, it's going to be, 5 days."
"Watch friends," she said, "again?"
"Yes," I responded.
"Have you decided which watches you'll be bringing?" she asked.
"Not yet."
"You should bring the new Seiko," she suggested. "Seems like it'd be a nice beach watch." Best wife ever. The first part of the trip was very relaxed, drinking poolside with Chris, shooting the shit, and just enjoying all the amenities the resort had to offer. It was just what the doctor ordered. Eric would join us a few days later, and he would make his presence felt almost immediately. Within 30 seconds of dropping off his luggage in the room, he cracked open a bottle of scotch and said the following infamous words, "Let's do some shots." He promptly poured some glasses, aggressively handed them to us, and yelled, "Bottoms up, Aruba!" The excitement of his arrival and the enthusiasm were infectious. It left us with no choice but to join him in solidarity. I know what you're thinking right now. Who the hell uses scotch for shots? It's the right question to ask because scotch is intended to be sipped and savored, right?
Both Chris and I had the same feeling. To Eric, though, it was a very pragmatic proposition. You see, he was 2 days behind us from a partying perspective, and quite frankly wanted to catch up. Scotch is all he had on hand. Nothing else was in sight, and he didn't want to wait. So there you go. Eric's pre-gaming ritual set the tone for the remainder of the trip, which ended up being a steady stream of booze and non-stop laughter. I think each of our respective livers would have been better off if we had had a steady IV drip of alcohol connected to us, rather than the carnage that actually ensued. The excess was mainly attributed to our exuberant trio gathering in an exotic location for the very first time. I'm also fairly certain that 87.4% of Aruba is carefully designed to get the majority of its tourists completely smashed. Here I was, a modest social drinker, and even I was seduced by that sinister temptress. Let's be honest, though. The power drinking mandate set forth by Eric didn't really help matters much either. After waking up from our respective comas, we took collective stock of what we had consumed since the hurricane's arrival. We were morbidly curious and started to recount what went down by checking our receipts and compiling a list. Here is quite literally a copy-paste from the notepad entry we had made that night from my iPhone. It reflects a per-person summary. Friday night with the hurricane. Woo! 3 shots of scotch. Hotel pregame. 2 scotches. Hotel pregame. 1 coconut rum. Beachside. 2 pina coladas. Poolside. 1 fruity drink. Dinner. 1 scotch. Bar number 1. 4 Vegas bombs. Bar number 1. Why? 2 fireballs. Bar number 2. Who the fuck ordered these? 1 Long Island iced tea. Bar number 3. 1 Vegas bomb. Bar number 3. 2 drinks. Nightclub. 2 cigars. In no way, shape, or form is this list intended to be seen as a badge of honor. Quite the opposite, in fact. Let's take a breath. I could feel your collective eye rolls being directed my way as you judge this unsophisticated frat boy laundry list of shame. It's okay. The ridicule is certainly welcome. Looking back, I could hardly believe it myself. What can I say? Embrace the absurdity and sometimes good things happen. At this point, can I safely assume that the hurricane moniker that was bestowed upon Eric earlier now makes perfect sense to you? Mind you, this barrage of booze took place over a 10-hour period, but this backdrop was a pivotal piece of context to help you understand the kind of liquid courage coursing through our veins as we made our way to the casino for what would be a rather memorable evening. After a quick stop at the ATM, I was mentally ready to do something profoundly idiotic. $500 on black, please, I nervously said to the kind-eyed lady working the roulette table. You sure you want to do that? Eric said with confused excitement. I am indeed, I calmly replied. In an act of solidarity, Eric jumped in as well. $500 on black, please. We looked at one another and smiled, while Chris looked on with mild concern. Black wins. Eric wisely took away his winnings as he was ready to get back to his beloved craps table to stretch out his gambling experience. I, however, looked at the guys, then back to the table. Without hesitation, I took my winnings and doubled down. $1,000 on black, please. My pulse quickened from zero to holy fuck when I realized the ridiculous decision I had made. Eric sprinted back to my side, threw his hands in the air with disbelief, and looked at me as though I was some sort of lost child who had just wandered into oncoming traffic. What have you done? He cried. Almost simultaneously, Chris's jaw dropped. He flashed a similar look of concern, only he couldn't muster a single word. This all seemed to happen in an instant. In a moment, the ball was swiftly launched into the cylinder of fate. Round and round it went for what felt like an eternity. I closed my eyes as the wheel began to slow. There was a moment of absolute silence. Or maybe I was just close to passing out, when the color was finally called out. Black wins again. We all let out a riotous cheer as I triumphantly collected my chips. The feeling was absolutely surreal. As the adrenaline slowly dissipated from my body, I literally shook as I made my way to the cashier to collect my loot. I knew it was a special night. For a change, the house lost. At least to me, I'm pretty sure they slayed everyone else's ass that night. Later that evening, ahem, very early in the morning, after recollecting our experiences over the course of the trip, we decided to order three identical new watches, Casio G-Shocks, from Amazon. Perhaps it was an excuse to buy a new watch, or maybe we were still too inebriated to know any better. Whatever the case, it ended up being the perfect way to cap off an epic adventure. The storyline in retrospect is a tad, shall we say, absurd. Strangers bonded by a mutual interest in watches travel to Aruba, paint the town red in glorious fashion, then order matching watches to commemorate the experience and newfound brotherhood. I like to think I've always, for the most part, tried not to be afraid of trying new things, because life tends to be far less interesting when you stay within the limits of what you already know. With that being said, if you told me I'd be doing something like this a few short years ago, I would have told you to put the crack pipe down and get some help. C'est la vie. My girlfriend and I at this point had been together for 10 years. She wanted us to get a place together, but her parents would never allow us to live together unless we were engaged. Well, we moved in together anyways, and like a typical man, I took my time buying the ring and proposing. The day came to go ring shopping, and I told my girlfriend my mom and I were going out to get one. I came home with my first nice watch instead, a Rolex 16610LN. It did not go well for me that night. At Seawind.